Whoop, whoop.
Good morning, everybody. Guys, is it all weird where you guys are right now? It rained at my house pretty much all last night. I thought we were in the middle of summer. It's not supposed to do that.
Well, you get a little bit of rain here. Throughout the Southland, we get a little weather.
That was aggressive.
What do you have for us, Key? Okay.
Well, I'm going to get there. It seemed like I'm hearing dogs in the background. But here's what we got. We got 65 degrees right now in Southern California, Los Angeles area in particular at 9 a.m. That seems to go away. Around 12, you're going to get 69. Starts to warm up midday. It'll be around 70, but not much warmer than that. You got about 5% chance of rain. Now, I don't know what was going down in Orange County, but here in the upper parts of the valley, we didn't get any rain. As I look out my door, everything's all dry. My driveway is dry. But that's pretty much it. And every now and then in the summertime, you will get a little patch of rain, you know, one or two days throughout the summer just to cool you off, but also the humidity starts to come up once that happens.
I was going to say, if I wanted rain in the summer, I'd move to Kansas City or St. Louis or Chicago or something. There's a reason I'm out here. It's a reason I pay what I pay to be out here. No rain in the summer.
Well, I scooted out.
The clouds should clear up, though, around midday. Around 2 p.m., you should start to see bright sunshine coming through. You'll be able to get out and lay out, just social distance.
Can I go to the beach?
Make sure you stay away from people. No, you cannot go to the beach. If anything, your ass need to go in a bunker somewhere. You part of the problem.
Part of the problem. He is the problem. He probably started it. I scooted out. I left. I'm back in Arizona.
And you need to stay in Arizona for a while.
Why do you need to be
moving around either. Because Arizona is a hot spot.
Well, I've been saying it's a hot spot because it's in the desert, but now it's a hot spot also because of the fact that, you know, people like Travis and Raj keep coming in my town acting like, woo, party central, everything's open.
I told you, we quit coronavirus down here. We don't do it in Orange County anymore. We're open and we're doing whatever we want, apparently.
Man, it was amazing.
I see people all over the place.
Man, they was walking around. It was just amazing, though. I thought it was 4 years ago. Well, I'm telling you. Man, not one person, and I'm talking about it was a mob of people. Not one person out on the mask.
Where were you?
In Orange County yesterday. That's when I sent the picture.
Well, we went down to a place where we buy some fish, and we went down there to pick it up on Saturday afternoon, and Susan and I are walking through. We both had our masks on, and we're going through it, just going down to pick up our stuff, and everybody's looking at us like we're Martians from another planet because we were in the very small minority of people that had our masks on. But,
maybe that's why they was looking at me like that, too, then. Maybe they thought I was weird walking around with a mask on. I was like, and they was just high-fiving and hugging, and I was like, dude.
Yeah, Lord, this is good. I was not high-fiving and hugging before, so I'm not standing out by not doing it.
It's right like that now. Meme with the dog sitting at the cafe and the burnt house is burning all around him. He's saying this is fine.
I had somebody, matter of fact, last night, yesterday evening, tell me, he's in another state, he tell me, man, I think this is just some sort of scam or something, man. It ain't even real. I said, let me tell you something, bro. It's not real till something happened to somebody or something close to you. Then it's going to be real. But I didn't say it in those words. I used a couple other words I can't use on air.
Well, that's like what we're talking about with the NBA. Until it happens to you or in somebody that you deeply care about, you can kind of chalk it up to, it's not that bad. I'll go out and grab a drink. I'll go out and meet my friend. And then because you think it's not that big of a deal, then all of a sudden the league is shut down.
But with that being said, and all in all, it's real. But then I get some people that I've been around in different places that I go. It's like, come on, man. You're not getting ready to disintegrate. You know, just the whole stepping aside, letting you walk by, moving out of the way. It's just like,
I'm a step aside guy. I'll walk in.
I'm a step asider.
I'm a step aside. There's no question.
Shoulder to shoulder.
No, it's okay to step aside, but it's the step aside and it's to look at you and stare at you as if they're getting ready to watch all of a sudden drippings from your calf fall to the street. Like, it's like, you know that look, I'm going to step aside, but I'm going to look at you, and then before you get a certain distance away, then I'll start to move again. It's like, come on. It's like I went through the grocery aisle a couple days ago, and I was going down the aisle looking for some syrup. And it was a few people in the aisle. Man, before I can even get where I needed to go, they got the moving and shifting. And I'm like, it's not that deep. You just go to the side. I'll go right through. You can go back and do what you do it. But it's just, it was.
Well, I got to tell you.
I had to stop and take a picture of the Auntie Mama syrup that's still in the grocery aisle.
a couple of times, I actually tried to play chicken with somebody in the grocery store. Because once you put the arrow down the ground and I know I'm in the right, I'm going to play chicken with you. And so I was in, I think, a Ralph's, and I was going down the right way, and this woman was coming down the wrong way of the street, up the little aisle. And so I'm just minding my own business, you know, going down the middle of the aisle. And she looked at me, and I looked at her. We both stopped, and I was like, well, I got the right of way. Shoot, I got the arrow on my side. I don't know what you're doing, lady, but I'm about to keep going. And she actually backed up all the way up out the aisle and let me go through. I hadn't felt so empowered since, I don't know.
Travis, you've been able to do that, follow those damn lines? I can't tell until I'm halfway doing the wrong way.
I gave up.
I can't do it.
I have not. Susan has done the vast majority of the grocery shopping since this whole thing started. And all nonsense aside, I have really, other than to go play golf and to go grab a bite to eat, I really haven't gone out very often. I really have not gone out and done those sorts of things. Susan's in hospitals every day. Susan's the one that's out and about and kind of the wild card in this whole deal. So she goes and does the – I saw it the other day where there was lines on the ground. I didn't even know what it was. I'm like, well, I'm just going to – what do you mean I got to go around? This, my bread is right there. I just want to go down this aisle. I'm going down there. I don't care. I'm going to grab my stuff and turn around and go back the other way.
Yeah, you gotta go around and, you know, they got the little – circles with the arrows pointing and the whole deal at farmer's market out here. It's one way. And I tried to go back because I went around and I missed the vendor that I wanted to go to. And I tried to go around. Lady's like, no, you can't. I'm like, are you serious right now? So then I had to make up a little short lie and tell her I left my credit card over there and I need to get it.
You know. Cam Newton is in New England. He's going to be the Patriots quarterback this season, assuming he's healthy. I don't think there's any situation where he doesn't earn that job. Key, was this inevitable because this was the only place for a vacancy, or is this just a deal that the Patriots saw and said, you know what, we can get him on the cheap. It's a $7.5 million deal. That's assuming he hits all of the incentives. Or is this the plan all along that they knew, hey, look, nobody else is going to take him because of the pandemic, because of his injuries, because of everything that's going on right now. We can just wait and get him at an incredible discount if we wait towards the middle of the summer.
I think it was all of the above. I mean, it was everything. And Chris Mortensen, our NFL insider, was on with us a little earlier, and he talked about why Newton got placed with the Patriots, why the position. Starting with number one, his injuries. Injuries didn't help the situation. Then you move to number two. Number two is the Carolina Panthers didn't do him any good. And why they would do that, I have no idea. I guess maybe they were thinking that they wanted to keep him, and then they decided later on that they didn't want to keep him. So when they released him, free agent pool was pretty much dried up to a degree. Then the pandemic hits. And now, all of a sudden, he can't get physicals. You can't put your hands on him. You can't see him. You can't touch him. All of those sort of things. If Cam Newton is a free agent like everybody else, like Greg Olsen, like all the people that Jadeveon Clowney's, the people that was Marcus Mariota's, that was released immediately or not re-signed back immediately, he would have been signed with a team as a starting quarterback from day one. But it didn't happen that way, and it's okay. Now you start to poke through the teams that need a quarterback that has maybe a Super Bowl-type contending team available. It was probably the Chargers, the Pats, maybe the Chicago Bears, but at the time the Chicago Bears elected to go with Nick Foles, who had familiarity with Nagy in his system in Kansas City, in the system that he was in Philadelphia, which is all the same. So they elected to go the Foles route because it was a trade where Carolina wasn't trading Cam Newton. Outside of that, those three teams, Super Bowl ready, need a quarterback. I can't find any.
So, you know, obviously, you know, last week we spent a great deal of time talking about the reports that teams were interested in Colin Kaepernick, and they were kicking the tires. And while Key, you pointed out, I had talked about Cam being in New England a while ago. The idea
I said that earlier. But no, yeah, I'm just patting yourself on the back again.
Yeah, I'm just reiterating. But I also talked about the idea of Cap being in New England before the Cam signing. And now that that position has been taken, where do you see Cap possibly landing now? Especially given the most recent reports now that people are still asking about him. People in the NFL are still asking about him from his inner circle.
I don't see him landing at all. I really just don't.
Can NFL survive that? Can they come out on the other side without Cam being in somebody's camp and not look as if everything that they said this summer was just a bunch of crock?
Yeah, but doesn't mean that they said anything. What they said is they hope that somebody signs him. Right? That's what Coach Lynn, that's what Roger, that's what a few other people said. That's all. But they're not saying we're going to sign him. No one is saying we're going to sign him. So the NFL ain't, they just not going to sign him.
I really honestly think
the Kaepernick football has sailed. I really honestly do. I'm hoping that it doesn't, but I just know that when it takes a team, it takes teams so long to make a decision on a quarterback that has the ability as him, because they're afraid of him coming in and proving everybody was wrong about his ability. See, the ability thing is shifted back now, because if you think about it, 5 years ago, he wasn't signed. 4 years ago, he wasn't signed. 3 years ago, he wasn't signed. 2 years ago, he wasn't signed because of his ability. We all know football-wise, that's a damn lie. So when you sign him, give me a team. Just throw a team out there. Give me a
49,
team.
49, Seahawks.
Seahawks sign him. Russell Wilson tears his ACL. Knock
damn,
on wood. Kate. It doesn't happen.
Damn, he could have just gave him a cold.
Whatever. He gets a cold.
Okay, there we go.
Now Kaepernick comes in, and he balls out, and they go on and go to the NFC Championship game. Now you got this weird kind of like, man, we ain't really never liked Russ anyway. You know what I'm saying? The players. Well, players.
Are we not overthinking it to the point?
No,
of
No, I'm not. If, I'm just telling no, no. you. To, I'm telling you factually how it can go down.
No, I get that scenario, but that's not what they're trying to avoid.
Seattle is too the extreme, too much of the extreme. Give me a team that quarterback is Cleveland Browns.
I don't think that the reason he's not on a team is because they're worried if he gets into a game, he'll play too well and put them in an awkward position.
No, that's not why he's not on the team. No, they are right now, though. They are right now.
That's what they wasn't before. Is there not a difference between that's what they're saying or that's what they're publicly would be like, hey, we don't want to put a Baker Mayfield in an awkward position. You can sell that publicly and it sounds reasonable. But the idea that there's been too many teams saying
that though.
But we love him. We love him. Oh, people are calling. Oh, we would do it, but we got Geno Smith. Oh, we would do it, but we just drafted a guy. Oh, we would do it, but somebody else is going to call. It's all this noise about how someone's going to do it. No one has done it.
But the people that's telling you this ain't in the NFL. They're not. They're just reporters.
Pete Carroll, Anthony Lynn. No, these guys are in the NFL. No.
Anthony Lynn said he certainly should be on the list, different than what Pete Carroll said. Pete Carroll talking about people. I love Pete to death, but why would they be calling you? You ain't never coached him. What they calling you? Think about what you just said, Travis, before we move on. Mm-hmm. They calling Pete Carroll. Why are they calling Pete Carroll?
Because he worked
Why
him
wouldn't
out.
They be calling? Why wouldn't they? No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
When?
A couple few years ago. He did.
But he didn't coach him.
No,
so
it's
working
true.
Him out, I can work him out. I don't need to call you to work him out. I can work him out my damn self.
But this is the whole point. They don't want to do that. Well, there's a lot more here. We'll come back to do that. Cam Newton as well in New England, what that does for their Super Bowl chances. But Major League Baseball is trying to get restarted as well. Doug Glanville will join us next. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we're getting closer to the relaunch of Spring Training 2.0 in Major League Baseball. Joining us right now, 9 years in the big leagues. Of course, a member of the ESPN MLB team as well. Doug Glanville joining us here on The Morning Show. Doug, good morning. How are you?
All right. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. All right. Now, are we going to continue to have baseball, or are we going to end it after one game, or what's going to happen with that?
Look, I don't know how they're going to pull this off with the health crisis we're facing right now. Just a lot of states are going in the wrong direction, and to try to manage that over, I guess, about 30 states, different municipalities, different rules, and the fact that people are going to be coming from all over the place, and you know, this is fluid. It's changing every day. New York City, New York, all these directives are going to impact that. So I'm not sure how they're going to pull it off, but at least they've finally at least got to the point where they have an agreement to start the conversation, at least start acting on that hope.
And I'm looking over, and I'm looking forward to finishing the essay you posted on the Undefeated, talking about the comma effect on bias and Black lives. Can you explain a little bit what the comma effect is?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it in my course. I taught a course at University of Connecticut on sport and society last semester, and one of the articles I use in the course is from, I believe, the USA Today, talked about, it was called Black Victim, White Suspect, and they sort of compared different headlines on how the qualifiers came into play on depending on the sort of background of the person, whether the victim or the person committing the act. And they were just looking at this lens of that comma is so powerful because you can soften or add sympathy to somebody, or you can demonize someone and sort of indict them. And that pause in the sentence kind of can shift it a lot of different ways. So you could say, well, this guy did this horrific act, comma, but he was the, you know, captain of the chess club, or he was an altar boy at church, or whatever it may be. Or you could say, well, this guy was unjustifiably, his life was taken, you know, at the hands of police in certain circumstances, but then you could say, comma, he also, you know, sold drugs back when he was 15 years old. So, you know, so the comma effect kind of looks at our history a little bit through my own personal experience of how you, when you're on that fence, the benefit of the doubt sometimes is racialized, and it will be contingent on how they perceive you and your identity.
You do understand any number racism, right?
What's that?
Any number racism. That's all it is. Well, comma.
Yeah, to shift it to that direction. Yeah,
right?
But the subtlety is something that's worth looking at, because we're looking so often at these big billboard signs of, say, racism, right? Oh, there was a cross burned or something dramatic. And I was trying to express that a lot of these things are very subtle. They're microaggressions. They're little things. And it happened throughout my career, even as a professional or major leaguer. There was always these sort of moments that could have gone different ways, but I didn't get the benefit of the doubt, and some of those situations were, you know, quite scary at different times. So it's important to look at the small things, not just the large things.
No, and it's very true. And
you know, it's so funny. I used to make that joke about the comma with Sean McVay on his hiring. They used to always have that comma, and his mother was an interior designer. And that used to drive me crazy, because I couldn't believe that in trying to talk about justify why Sean McVay should have this job, one of the commas to your point was that his mom had a successful interior design business. And I was like, what kind of picture do you feel you need to paint when you go that deep dive into trying to justify him having that position over maybe somebody who's more qualified?
Well, because it's to make everything okay. As you know, as you both know, it's to make everything okay. It's in sports where all of a sudden he's gritty, first one in, last one out, dad's a coach. It's the same thing. It's the same effect as a comma. Make your mind believe that this person is different than what you're seeing with your own eyes.
Right. And the point with the comma is that it's dripping with its own bias. I mean, that the qualifiers that are added on, and that can go a different direction. And look, it's all people would be asking is for that to be issued fairly. You want to humanize, everyone, right? We want to be in a scenario, a world where we can say, okay, we're humanized. We're giving you some context for why the person responded this way, was treated this way. Well, that should be fair across the board then. We should always try to serve this sort of larger purpose of bringing the human element into it, even when people do, wrongful things. But that has not been afforded across the board to all people. And I wanted to just point out that how race plays a role in how that comma shifts one way or the other.
Doug Glanville joining us here on the morning show on the Sprint People's Hotline. And Doug, we've heard about the NBA and how they're thinking about having players carry messages on their uniforms. We know that the NFL has empowered their players to take a knee if, in fact, we get back to a football season. Any word? Have you heard anything about how baseball plans on dealing with its players, the players that want to offer an opinion, that want to offer something on their uniform perhaps? Do we have any idea on how baseball is going to respond to that?
Well, it has not been outlined as far as I know, and I think the one of the questions are going to be how they're going to address this as a sport. Baseball certainly has a different dynamic, a different demographic, and the NBA has been very, with Adam Silver leading, has really taken the ownership of this and invested in it as an important part of the culture of the NBA. Baseball is now just trying to sort out, and now, yes, the diversity is different. You have a lot of players from Latin America. You don't have the large African-American population, so there is a difference. But now that they're starting to take at least stances or at least statements to say, we're not going to tolerate this, we're trying to make a better world, then now the next step is, what empowerment are you going to provide to the players to be able to take certain ownership in their own rights and speak on issues, or at least find avenues by which they can help make change? So it's to be determined, and baseball has been very slow and followed that sort of neutrality and sort of laid back and tried to hope things will go away in the media cycle, like many corporations have. It's a time where neutrality is getting categorically rejected, and when you talk about hate and things so extreme, you would think you want to be on the right side of that history.
What is your expectation for this 60-game season? Are we going to see good play? Is it going to be compelling, or are they really just doing it just to get this check mark done, and they're really looking forward to next season?
I'm optimistic about the chance for baseball to innovate and do some things that are exciting. I mean, put the health crisis aside. If this happens, then you have a chance to have a sprint for a sport as opposed to the marathon. And some of the criticisms of baseball slowness, and well, every game is basically a divisional game. They're going to have a huge schedule in your own division and then geographically play the other league. And that's exciting because you have rivalries built into all of that geography. So every game is going to carry that kind of weight. There's chances to give fans an exceptional amount of access, whether audio or video or whatever they're going to do to keep fans engaged. That part is exciting because baseball can look at certain elements in the last 15 years and say, all right, this is where analytics advanced the game. This is where analytics kind of crushed offense or changed the way we play. That's not for the better. That's the opportunity here. And so I see any team coming into this camp is going to have a chance. I don't rule any team out because it's so different to look at a season in 60 games versus the long haul of 162.
What's the best thing a team needs? And most important thing, is it pitching depth? Is it just roster depth? Is it having your 30 and 35th guy be better than the other guy's 30 and 35th guy? Rank some priorities.
I have to put depth high up there because, first of all, you have to also have good fortune, because if someone gets sick or something and they're still able to play the sport as a whole, you're going to need different layers, and they're going to carry more players than normal. These have 25, 26 now 30, and they're looking to have these expanded rosters. But you have to stay healthy, and that can be somewhat of a luck of the draw or bad luck. So that's one element. But then, pitching is a concern because pitchers are not, they're no longer going these long 9-inning, 8-inning complete games are kind of unheard of now. It's all about the bullpen and mixing and matching. So even more so now, because they're not having this extended training camp, they're probably going to go in with starting pitching, not going deep into the ballgame. And with that, they're going to look to connect the dots through bullpens. So bullpen depth will be key in how they match up and use that personnel to create the best opportunities within each game. And I would also add, you need to get out of the gate quickly. I mean, this is not, you know, the Washington Nationals, who won the World Series last year, started off in the first 50 games 19-31. I mean, they would have been beyond eliminated in a 60-game season. Well, that can't work this year. You're going to have to get out of the gate, and it's going to be very difficult to catch a team, you know, if they get off to, you know, a 30-10 start. They're just going to be, you know, cruising because there's not a lot of time to gain ground again.
Glanville, in Mr. your Glanville. Opinion, who got the better of this deal for baseball to restart? The players, the owners, or the fans?
I mean, there's a lose-lose component here. They're playing, so that's something. But, you know, if you look at by party, the owners pretty much strategically were saying, we have a bottom line number. It's based on this number of games because we're losing money because there's no fans. So we don't want to just keep playing games with no fans. So they kind of capped it, and it was probably around this number, 60, 50, whatever it was. So that's what they settled in. The players were worried about the structure. We don't want, you know, caps and discounts, and because every battle in baseball history has been, from the labor standpoint, has been through strikes and lockouts, injunctions, and court orders. So they were going to fight this to the end. Now they're just set up to say, well, I can file a grievance because the first offer the owners made never faced this agreement in March that was based on prorated salaries. They said, okay, we'll be prorated. We're not taking discounts and sliding scales. They didn't make an offer that didn't involve a sliding scale until towards the very end. So they weren't really going to work on this understanding that, oh, well, players are going to accept some sort of cap or reduction. So the players then lose because they go in now with the season imposed, and their only recourse now is possibly to go through the courts and file a grievance for operating in bad faith. And that's not going to go well. That will be protracted, and you'll play the season. So I don't know who wins with that, and the fans are just sitting here going, what's the issue? You know, like, why can't we just get to the next day and just, you know, work in harmony given what we're facing? There'll be support, but there's a lot of frustration. And by the way, 2021, they got to do this all over again, and it's going to be horrific, horrific.
Mr. Glanville, August 25th, 1970. Does that sound familiar?
That was a good day. I was born at 11:36 in the morning that day.
So you're going to turn 50 in about a month. I want to know, yeah, because we have a snake draft coming up about drafting our favorite lit holidays. You're turning 50. How can you get lit turning 50 during a pandemic? Explain to us.
I don't know what I'm going to do, actually. I don't want to do another Zoom. I got four kids. I've Zoomed my brain right off my body here. I can't do it. So I'm trying to come up with something. You know, credit my wife. She came up with sort of a distant, almost paintball kind of thing, and we did it for Father's Day. It was pretty good because he stood way over there and he ran. Of course, he didn't want to get close, so that was fun. but right now, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. It's going to involve probably sitting outside, and you know, other than that, I have no plan.
Well, early happy birthday, Doug. Appreciate you coming on this morning. As always, look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, guys. So let's come back and let's talk a little bit about that one part in particular, the idea of can you even get this thing started in the first place? A very important voice says it's extremely unlikely. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Uh-oh.
No, it's not you. It's not your fault. I just laugh to my, you know, I make myself laugh because I oftentimes wonder what the hell is wrong with people in the world just in general. You got this small town Alabama mayor. He couldn't take it anymore. He just quit and resigned because the Alabama players sent the video message about the movement and about everything in Black Lives Matter that's going on. He couldn't take it. It got him to a point where his whole life he wanted to be a mayor of a town. finally got to be the mayor of the town. That ran him out. Not the voters. That. Just, like, what the hell is wrong with people, man?
LZ, like, you have breaking news.
God. You know what that is.
Oh, I know exactly what it is, but it's crazy. Like, that person's crazy.
I'm out.
Crazy is one way of describing it.
Yeah, there's other words as well. There's probably something after the comma for crazy, right? I mean, that's coming as well. You know, we were talking with Doug
breaking
about,
news, guys. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news.
What do you got?
Just learned that in New York City, Broadway performances are canceled through January 3rd due to the pandemic.
Damn.
Broadway performances are canceled through January 3rd. Now, some of you don't care about theater and Broadway, and I understand that. That's not why I'm breaking this news now. If they're in New York City, and they've already decided we can't have large groups of people gather in a room until after the new year, imagine the impact that's going to have on fans being able to actually go and watch some games, at least when it comes to New York. Now, you know, does that mean that that's going to extend beyond, like, a Staples Center going to be able to issue something similar? Does that mean that, you know, any arena that's less than a certain size won't be able to have events? I don't know. But certainly if a good chunk of your city's economy is based on tourism driven by Broadway, and they've already decided we can't manage it until next year, that doesn't bode well, I think, for where we want to head in terms of being able to get back in arenas, in stadiums, and watch sports.
Well, if you've got people in the building, that's I don't know what step that is, but that's not step two. Step one is let's restart. And then some point down the line is let's get people back into these buildings. Because I appreciate what you were saying earlier, LZ, about it's not just, you know, me sitting in my living room with something to watch on TV at night. That's obviously an important part of what we're talking about. But we're talking about the guys that park cars and sell T-shirts and Cokes and beers and hot dogs and everything, that the security people inside the building. There's an entire economy based around these events. And the sooner we get people back in, the better. But the first thing that they need to figure out is, can we even have these leagues in the first place? The people sitting there watching them in person, I don't know how far down the checklist that is, but we're about to find out whether you can do this at all with the MLS bubble, with the NBA bubble. Baseball, you heard Doug Glanville say it there a minute ago, Buster Olney thinks there's about a 5% chance that they start the season at all and about a 0% chance that they finish it to begin with. We just had to figure out, can we do this at all for right now? And we're going to find out in about the next, you know, 30 or 60 days, we'll have a pretty good answer of whether we can play at all.
Well, I can certainly see the theater side being canceled. Having been a New York-type guy, been there, seen the theater, everything is in such tight quarters in smaller theaters where people are, you know, you're sitting kind of neck and neck, elbow to elbow. And not only that, the performers are within close proximity. You know, they got to go backstage. They got to change. There's a lot of moving pieces to that. When you look at sports, the venues, much like LZ is saying, is a little bit bigger. You talk about stadiums. The U.S. Open is outdoors, so you can spread some people out a little bit. You're talking about the football stadium, which actually is in New Jersey, not in New York. So maybe there's a different state rule. Plus, it's open air. So it's a lot to be worked out. I wouldn't just assume that sports is going to be canceled or anything like that is happening, because they're certainly headed on the right track in terms of trying to get things restarted. If you look at certain other countries have gotten things started, whether it's soccer, whether it's baseball over in Korea, and they seem to be thriving at a pretty, you know, pretty cool pace. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can learn from some of those things.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking so much, Key, about the sports being canceled. It's just our ability to be there live to watch them.
I never thought that from a capacity standpoint, that the later we got in the season, the sports season out of the summer, that it was going to be at half capacity. I wouldn't even say full, even half capacity. I never thought that. Maybe there's a lottery system for those few, you know, thousand fans to be able to go to some events and be spread out. Maybe that happens and takes place. Because I can certainly see where if you're social distancing restaurants and all of those things, how come you couldn't social distance a sporting event?
Well, I mean, it's simple math, right? I mean, that yes, I can suggest, let's use the Coliseum as an example. Coliseum, just to use rough numbers, has 90,000 seats, right? Let's say we're going to sell a third of them. We're going to put 30,000 people. That way, every third seat is empty or every third seat is occupied, and we got some empty spot in between us. We're 6 feet apart. That's one thing. But the fact of the matter is, you still having 30,000 people in one spot. So even if you do the social distancing, you still have this incredible congregation of people in one spot. You've already got hundreds when we're talking about players, if we're talking about staffers, if we're talking about coaches. But to tack thousands on top of that, it just that seems like something that is way, way, way down the road. I know that we're trying to slowly open these things, but you look at what has gone. You look at the European soccer leagues, like you mentioned, Key, Korean baseball leagues. They're empty. They're not doing that stage where we put a third of the people in or a half of the people in. It just feels like it's going to be empty for a while. And you know what? That's okay. We'll get used to it. I mean, I'm watching things over the last couple of weeks without fans. It's different. It's a little awkward at the beginning, but you get used to it. You start to realize that these guys are still competing at a high level. They're still executing at a high level. It's just, it's a weird visual and an even weirder audio experience, but we'll get used to it. I just don't feel like we're going to see people in stands for a really long time.
Well, and that's disappointing for a lot of reasons, obviously. I mean, here in L.A., we have a couple of teams, maybe even three teams, with legitimate shots of winning, you know, a trophy, a championship. And the idea that the Braves could find, not the Braves, sorry, that the Dodgers can finally break through and finally win a World Series, and none of us may be able to actually be there to see it, it kind of sucks. You know, we won't be able to cheer there. We'll cheer at home. We cheer at our small little parties or whatever. There might be a bar that's open or something like that. But, and Key, you know this because we've done it, you know, recently. To be there at Dodger Stadium during a World Series game in a playoff environment, period, that energy, it's so hard to replicate. And to have them break through and win a championship and not have a chance to be a part of it, that's disappointing. You know, it's really disappointing.
Well, of course it's going to be disappointing. But at the same time, we can sit at home and we can watch it. It's going to feel funny, though, for the players. If they won a championship, to be jumping up and down with nobody in the stadium.
Nobody in the stadium.
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it, right? We've seen this, that it happened already, where guys win. I was watching the golf tournament yesterday. Dustin Johnson wins a golf tournament. He has to make a pretty good jump. But it was just bizarre because the last putt drops in, and usually it's, hey! And this was just, you can hear the ball drop in the hole, and then he's like, all right, see you later. And he just walks away. It's just, it's a really bizarre dynamic, but it's better than nothing at all. So we'll see what happens. All right, guys, get your drinking shoes out. Get them polished up because we are snake drafting our favorite days to get after it. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Yeah, you know what time it is, fellas. That's right. Travis took a couple of lumps over the weekend, came in last. That's right, on a snake draft poll. But that's okay, LZ. You have seven, but Keyshawn is closing the gap with six victories. So congratulations, Keyshawn. You are the best superpower hero host morning show guy in America, in the country. But with 4th of July coming up, guys, it reminds me of the favorite holidays to get lit, or the favorite days just to get lit. I love going around on 4th of July. So like Doug Glanville just told you, it could be your birthday, it could be a bachelor party, NFL Sunday, whatever it is. What's your favorite holiday or day just to get lit and have a good time? Travis, you are first. Tell me what you got.
Okay, so I'm happy to go first, and I just want to preface this by saying that these are the days that I like. Whether anybody votes for this list or not, I don't care at all. These are the days.
Oh, you just don't care no more now.
No. In this one, I am specifically telling you the ones that I like the most. And my favorite holiday of the year, my favorite day of the year, for a variety of reasons, there's great food, you're usually surrounded by people that you care about, you get to spend time with your loved ones, and there is always plenty of time to sit around and eat and watch TV and catch up, and of course, have several drinks along the way. I'm taking Thanksgiving as my number one pick.
Ooh, okay, that's right. Sit around a table, get lit with the family, argument or two, you never know. That's right.
Yeah. Not in their household.
No arguments in my household.
Told you, not come on
one
now.
Another. We hold on to silent resentments for years. We never actually say anything to anybody. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Malcolm still ain't got a job. That's all right. Go ahead, Keyshawn. Your turn. You are second up, Key. Who do
you
got?
Well, you know, the thing is when you can't get too lit on a particular holiday that with family gatherings, right? Because, and this is not to poo-poo on Travis, but at the same time, you got to eat. You got to watch all the football. Like, you're going to pass out from the food and the football.
Speak for yourself.
But the one holiday out of all the holidays, and I know a lot of people think it's 4th of July because it's coming up. No, it's too hot in July. Memorial Day weekend is a pool party festival. It's not about family. It's about friends and going out to places and hitting different parties and getting lit. You going from one pool party to the next pool party. You drinking. You moving around. You in Vegas. You doing all those things. You're not going to Vegas for 4th of July. Speak for yourself, right, Keyshawn Raj? Okay.
I've been there. All right.
But more people go Memorial Day to Vegas to party crazy without their family, like Raj. Okay, anyway, Memorial Day.
All right, fine. Memorial Day. So that leaves up to you, LZ. What is your favorite day occasion to get lit? And of course, you got back-to-back picks because you know what this is. That's right.
Well,
LZ?
LZ?
Well, guys, you know, when Farrakhan was first come upon us, I think that I would have to go Juneteenth because that's the day we as people were free. And so I would like to put Juneteenth as my first day. And then.
You there yet, OZ?
Nope, we keep going. No, okay. I think he would have jumped in on you long ago had he been back. You don't need to, when he's back, you'll know, especially if you keep doing your impression.
Okay. And then my second day to get lit, of course, is the WNBA draft because I follow it and I go to the parades. And that is right. We love the basketball, my people. And so I'm going to go with the WNBA draft as my second day to get lit. Back to you, Keyshawn.
So stupid, man.
Not bad.
Okay,
not
so
bad.
It's my turn again. I took Memorial Day. This time around, I'm going to take 4th of July. Take it 4th of July because, again, it's similar to Memorial Day. You can celebrate. You can get out on the boat. You can do all sorts of things. You can go to Lake Havasu with Raj. You can just have a good old time. And it doesn't necessarily have to be with your entire family the entire time, unlike other holidays.
Am I allowed to make my picks now?
I did for you.
Am I allowed to make my picks?
He picked for you.
No, I heard that weak ass version of my voice. You still keep dragging out trying to make it funny. You need to stop it. Stop it now.
All right, we will make an exception. We'll pull back real quick. Please make your two picks for us, LZ the Grandy Man. I thought I picked fine. Some fine choices, but you go ahead.
So fine. This day's liberation is very important to my people. It's a celebration that everyone likes to be involved with. It's very close to Juneteenth, Ross. So you weren't that far off.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Cinco de Mayo.
Ooh.
See, I like that one.
You know Cinco like de Mayo. One. Yes. And Jorge, I sent you a video that lets you know how I feel about Cinco de Mayo in general.
Well, he's not Mexican, though.
Oh, that's just technicality.
And what's your next one?
And then with my next pick, I'm going to go with New Year's Eve.
Ooh, okay. Can't go wrong there.
Yes, you can.
That's fine. So, okay, Cinco de Mayo and New Year's Eve is your two picks. Keyshawn picked 4th of July. That leaves us up to Travis for his second and third pick because you know what time it is.
It's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
That's right.
I'm going to kind of go with a yin and a yang here with my two picks. I'm going to go with the beginning of something and the end of something because both can be celebrations. I'm going to take a wedding. Always good to go to a wedding and get a
open
chance
bar.
To see somebody start their lives together. There's an open bar. Maybe there's some people there that you're interested in meeting.
But
so I'm going to take
yourself look like a fool.
I'm not going to look like a fool. This isn't a contest to see who can get the drunkest. It's where you like to go and have a good time. There's some slots in here. And then at the back end, I'm going to take funerals because you need a drink or two or more than that to kind of even out
hold
what is
up.
Usually
hold,
a very
hold, hold
very
the day you get lit at a funeral.
Yes.
Hold the hell
it's
up.
His picks. It's his picks.
Hold the
That's
hell
right.
up. Listen,
he's talking about the repast, man.
To white people before in my life, but if white people get lit at funerals, I need to join in.
Come
I ain't
on
never
over.
Been no funeral where y'all got where we got lit.
The repast,
no,
man.
Lit.
No,
just a little repast.
When you're in the church or the graveyard or wherever the ceremony is, That's a very somber event. But when you go to the party afterwards,
the repast.
The what? You said the party? Yes. Like, I'm glad they're gone. Ooh, I'm so glad they're gone.
It's a celebration of life, LZ. I have always look forward to that party afterwards, and you get to relive all the wonderful moments with that person. So I'm taking my funerals.
All right. I like it. I think you might get some picks on that one, Trav. Remember, the votes have got a diverse group out there voting. So Keyshawn, that brings us up to you for your third pick. Where are you going?
It's a snake draft.
Well, it depends. Oh gosh, Well,
sure.
I would say Christmas is right there. You know, you get your little buzz on Christmas Eve, and then you carry it into Christmas Day. You probably have started drinking around 10 p.m., 9 p.m., maybe even earlier than that on Christmas Eve, and then it rolls into the next day after you sober up that morning, open up the gifts. By the time you get to dinner, you having some fun and tipsy then, too.
All right. Christmas is the day. That's right, celebrating the birth. All right, LZ, that brings it to you for your third and fourth pick and your final two picks. As you got back-to-back, you know what's up.
It's a snake draft.
That's right, Keyshawn.
Well, let's see. So I got the Cinco de Mayo done, right? I got New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And now I need to, like, find myself a nice little holiday that everybody knows what time it is. And I think that holiday is the one in which drinking green beer is considered a requirement.
Ooh,
I'm going to go to St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
St. Paddy's Day. People tend to get lit during St. Paddy's Day.
They
and
sure
I don't know
is.
Anyone, you know, besides Travis and the funeral drinking, that loves that kind of celebration more than people who love to go out, dress in green, get drunk, and then say, oh, well, it's St. Patrick's Day as an excuse.
That's right. Don't let me laugh in comments.
And then with my final pick in the draft, I'm going to pick a time of year that, let's just say, is known for having a party. It's a party that no one who's ever gone to has ever come out not drunk.
Okay.
Like it's like required to be drunk.
All right, move along.
Now, this year, obviously, because of the pandemic, it was derailed.
Is it
downtown? Gay Pride Weekend.
Ooh. Oh,
Gay Pride Weekend normally is a drinking fest. So I'm going with Pride.
Gay Pride. Hey, Pride, I've been to one of those, and you are right. It was a party, nonstop, wall-to-wall. I had a great time. Keyshawn, your final pick, sir. This is a day's holidays or occasions to get lit, just to have a good time.
You know, you're rolling in. I took Memorial Day, so I roll in with that. Now I'm going to take his cousin, Labor Day.
Okay.
You know, that's a start of college football, start that weekend, getting into the NFL. It becomes a big deal. Labor Day weekend has always been fun, much like Memorial Day weekend.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Oh, man, I got some great ones. This is another one.
You got some good ones. All right. Travis, coming off of death, where are we going?
It's a snake draft. Coming off of death.
Well, no, this is not death, but this is, again, this is my list, the days that I like, and there is nothing quite like having one of those first tea times in the morning and going out and having a couple of Bloody Marys and then starting your day off right there. And you can't be lit all day if you don't start in the morning. So I'm taking early mornings as my answer to this. Early mornings.
So morning tea time.
Morning tea time, indeed.
All right. Well, those are our picks, of course. These are the days to get lit on and just have a good time. Travis picks Thanksgiving, wedding, funeral, morning tea times. Keyshawn takes Memorial Day, 4th of July, Christmas, and Labor Day. LZ takes Cinco de Mayo, New Year's Eve, St. Paddy's Day, and the Gay Pride Festival or occasion, whatever it is, the parade, everything.
You got a nice list there.
All of you do. Good luck. Of course, you can go on ESPN Los Angeles. Janice is going to put the list up, and you can vote. So we'll wrap it up here. Thanks, guys.
All right. Cam Newton has a team. Cam Newton has a good team. Just how good might they be in that first year? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.